Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 24. This is one of the, if this doesn't give you the peace that passes all understanding, nothing will. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. That should relieve any anxiety about anything.
You know, it helps if you get rid of it.
What?
It helps a little bit for me to get rid of the it, do it, like there's a thing that he does. It's not a thing, it's just he is.
All right. The calleth, it's right. I mean, call it. You can. It's to be called, to be bid, to be summoned. But it's more important that it also means to bear a new name. Faithful is he that calleth, or that gives you this new name. But that's the agency by which he calleth you. And the new name we studied and talked about a lot yesterday, but it's a name that no man knows. It's in that name, in that seed, in that peace, in that life, in that truth. There is... There's everything that fills your heart's desire. And so this scripture is so intense. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Faithful is he that nameth you, who will also honor that name. On and on and on. Let's look at a few places. And the emphasis is not on the is on the person that's calling you, not on the act of being called.
Yeah.
All right.
That was. I don't know what the right word is, but that the name Jesus is the agency by which he calls you. Is that what you said?
Huh?
Go ahead. Did you say that the name that the person of his son is the agency of the call? It's what. The ringing of the bell or whatever. That's what I thought I heard you say, which I thought was great.
I thought I heard you say something and I thought it was great.
First Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance, in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming or the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm you unto that unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. If somebody told me that that I had been called at any time up till a point that I had the conversion experience in January of 72, I would have said they're nuts. Number one, I had no interest in being called. I had no interest in being saved. If you remember, I've told you often that when that happened, when people come up to me, are you saved? And my answer was, saved from what? And so the point of this is that he called you from before you were religious or had any interest in God. He called you before you were born. He called you before the foundation of the earth. And he saw you at the end. He saw you standing blameless with no spot or blemish. And so when God looks at you, he sees Jesus. And when he looks at Jesus, he sees you. And so that's the meaning. When it says you are, by one offering, you have been perfected forever, that forever goes backwards and forwards. Because it is of no time. And this is the agency by which you know that by his blood you were forgiven. The life is in the blood. And so by his blood we live. By his blood we are saved. There's a school of thought that says that even the very essence of creation itself was formed by the blood of Jesus. So in the creation, and it's all about the meaning of words Adama and dust, and anyway, I don't want to go into that, but I just want you to get out of the idea that God is localized. He's localized only because he's residing in you, but he's not localized in terms of time or environment. We always, even in our conversations, we make God too small. Or as, remember, Krista used to say, she put God in a box. And all I'm saying is destroy that box. Lengthen the cords to as far as you can conceive, and he's faithful. Amen? All right, let's go to Galatians 1. And this is where the tire meets the road. Verse 3, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then he gets you. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, 99% of Christianity, as I see it, they've been removed into another gospel. Because it's got how-tos, it's got prosperity, it's got mixing with politics, it's got concerns of this world. It's so easy to get removed. You're removed from this gospel once you leave the mercy seat. You're removed from this gospel once you give breath to something in time and space. Amen? Anybody gotten removed lately into another gospel? All right. Which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Although we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, or that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Now, why is that doubled there? First of all, he says, if you remove from any gospel other than he has preached, but then he puts it back in all over all of time and space and says, that which you have received. That which you have received from God, the divine impulse that's within all men. Amen? As we have said before, so I say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. God help us. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm almost tempted to say, if anyone has taught you any aspect of the gospel, then you've been removed from the gospel that you have received. You can't teach this mystery. You can only confirm it, what you already know. So Paul boldly says, I received nothing of it from man. I learned nothing of it from man. I can say the same thing.
I have a question. Is the divine impulse or the seed received at the Pentecost the same as the call?
Yeah. It's the name. It's your root, true life. It's your who you are really. That can't be revealed except you fall into the ground and die.
So all men are called. Yeah,
right. All are called, but few are chosen.
What is the chosen part?
When you see the end of the movie.
Who does the choosing?
God has made it available to all men. All men are without excuse. That's why Christ is so important, what Christ said. He said, let's go there, John 15.
It's almost like the choosing seems to be a function of raising your arm, just giving up, which is no merit. Where did it go?
John 15. What are you doodling this morning? She was doodling on the page of the Bible instead of that.
No.
I think she should be whipped or something.
I've been noticing, but I was pretty tall.
On what?
15. You've been noticing it?
Yeah, but I was afraid of saying it. She might hurt you.
Verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will I do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. If he revealed that you can have a form of religion, and you can go through the rites and the offerings, and you can go through the whole, you know, the whole thing. But until you hear Jesus say unto you that the essence of sin is self-realization, then you've got to say, whoa, whoa. Now, when you sit in a church, and you might enjoy, you know, in some churches they have the grandeur of the. But if it's not hitting you inside, if it's not, in some ways making you very mad, then but all of you have done this. You've all gone to church. And for the most, however, whatever, even if your church was the atheist society or the, you know, some pagan thing, you all go to church, but for the most part, you're bored to death in it. It means nothing. You just do it out of habit. Until this thing happens, when you hear him speaking unto you, and all of a sudden, you have no cloak for your own agency of self-realization. Trying to get it right, trying to do something good, trying to be in the right place. And even if you're a rebel, you go and find out, my God, I'm just a, you know, I'm a nonconformist. And you go and you find out.
You're a cookie-cutter rebel.
Huh?
You're a cookie-cutter rebel.
No, yeah, everybody else. Like that happened to me, and I was enthralled with the beatniks. I let my hair grow and wore black and all that crap. And so I go, the nirvana was Greenwich Village. So I went to Greenwich Village. And I wasn't a rebel anymore. I was a conformist to a whole universe. And that troubled me to no end. You know, but it's each of these steps that you go through till you come and find out that they're all crap. What? Tom, what are you laughing at?
I just amused, that's all. I'm just amused.
You're amused by the image of the
beatnik? No, I'm amused by Ole, who, you know, tries to non-conform and conforms, you know. I tried to conform and I didn't conform very well, so.
All right. Let's go to Galatians. No, wait a minute. We're in Galatians. No, but we're supposed to be in Galatians. We just left there for like a brief trip. We just made a quick stopover. Galatians 1. Verse 11 again. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, or not from man. For I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation, our way of life, in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. So somehow God called him, but there was nary an impulse to confer with anybody about it. He went out essentially in the desert alone. Anyway, let's go to Galatians 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now remember, the word circumcised here doesn't just mean cutting off the head of your what's it, your hoo-hoo. The word circumcised was common in the Greek language to mean to cut off or stop doing something. There's a common, okay? So this here, circumcised, he's talking about here, is that you are doing something, fundamentally doing something or stop doing something because you think it's godly. All right? For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the entire law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Now this should be read by everybody, you know, like the what do you call them?
Phylacteries.
The phylacteries. Who seduced you? Every time you want a how-to, every time, you know, you're going to do something, it's every time you have an agenda. Anyway, we got one, let's go to two more, and then we'll. I thought we were going to finish this today. 1 Peter 5. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The God of all grace has called us into his eternal glory. Not someday. Now. Now, it says elsewhere that this call is the highest order there is. There can be nothing greater in the universe than to be called of Him. Nothing, no president, no billionaire, no nothing. Now, I believe that, and it's been tested a few times. Do you? You know the riches of His inheritance. Think on these things. What? I smell grease burning all over the place.
Fire in the room. The inheritance of these riches are by blood only. It's only by Him, His Son, that these are available. He doesn't give His inheritance to the outside that blood.
But you've got to see this one point. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin.
It's not my job.
Hmm?
It's not my job.
It's your only job.
I thought that was already done. That's another point. That's not the point I like.
No, it's not. It's the same point. Okay, then again, you deny yourself, abandon yourself. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You have not yet resisted unto blood to be exercised and live in that place where you are truly abandoned. They're the same thing. The call of God, part and parcel of the call of God is your death. You can't have both. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. And the fear of God should cause you to, you've already know it's crap, but every once in a while you get seduced into going back. And so the fear of God then is like in the 23rd Psalm. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, that's kind of crazy, but it's true. Because without it, I would continue in sin thinking that grace is going to abound. No. Got it? What? All right. Today is what's day? Is it today?
Friday.
Dang.
Which, by the way,
I had every intention. There goes my idolatry. I had every intention of finish First Thessalonians today. What happened?
Take another minute.
You stretch it out for the rest of next week.
Everybody. I mean, this is really neat stuff.
I remember when we first studied, He's in us both to will and to do His good pleasure, and how comforting that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it still is. So it's a big comfort.
What are you thinking, Mr. Jeff? Went to another world.
I was in my own.
In Jeff World.
Oh, Jeff World.
Jeff World. All righty. Fortunately, He restores us.
Yeah, and that's a good ending for what we started with. It's good that He's faithful.
He cannot deny Himself.
Yeah.
Take it, big guy.
to us.